Every rap fan knows about Tupac's deadly war against Biggie in the East Coast back in the 90s. But what most people don't know is how many beefs Tupac really had. He was destroying rappers, politicians, and anyone else who got in his way. And today, we're breaking it all down. Let's get right into it. Biggie wasn't the only East Coast rapper that Pac had issues with. At the time, Jay-Z was just a young dude in the game who hadn't even dropped an album yet. There wasn't any drama with him and Pac yet. But Jay linked up with Biggie for the track Brooklyn's Finest, and everything changed. Big and Jay were always tight, but when Brooklyn's Finest came out, it was like Jay was choosing a side in the war. Plus, Biggie took shots at Tupac on the track, which just made the situation even worse. Around the same time the track dropped, rumors were going around that Tupac looked up with Biggie's wife, Faith Evans. Biggie referenced it on Brooklyn's Finest, basically called Pac his son with the line, "Me and Gutta had two spots, the two for $5 hits, the blue tops. Got a O, Julio, meaning it's getting too hot. If Faith have twins, she probably have two Pops. Get it? Two Pops?" Since Jay was with Biggie, Pac went for his neck too. On the track Bomb First, he said, "I'm a bad boy killer. Jay-Z died too. Looking out for Mobb Deep, when I find you. Weak motherfuckers don't deserve to breathe." And on the track Friends, he rapped, "Putting made buses to sleep with no grief. Mash on my so-called comp, who the man? While I'm tugging on your main head, understand this, ain't no nigga like me. Jay-Z." Tupac died just a few months after Brooklyn's Finest dropped, and all of his Jay disses were released after it happened. According to producer Irv Gotti, Jay hopped in the booth and laid down a response, but never dropped it, because Jay had too much respect for Tupac to diss him after he died. When Dr. Dre and Suge Knight linked up to create Death Row Records, it started a whole new era of West Coast rap. The Chronic became one of the best-selling rap albums ever. Snoop Dogg blew up overnight with his debut album, and at one point, the label was bringing in over $300 million a year. Suge took it to the next level when he bailed Pac out of prison and signed him to Death Row. They had the most stacked roster of all time, but not before long, Dre decided to move on. According to people who were around Death Row at the time, Dre just wasn't rocking with the whole vibe. He liked to stay low-key in the studio and work on tracks for months. But at Death Row, it was a party every day. Tupac would come in and finish three tracks in an hour. There weren't any big issues that made Dre leave, but that didn't stop Pac from airing him out after he left. Suge and Pac started spreading rumors that Dre was gay, and Pac sent a whole verse at him on the track Toss It Up. On the track, he said, "No longer Dre Day, Eddie Vedderci. Lone and forgotten, riding for plotting child's play. Check your sexuality, as fruity as his Alizé. Quick to jump ship, punk trick, what a dumb move. Cross Death Row, now who you gonna run to?" The diss didn't drop until 2 weeks after Pac was killed, so Dre never had a chance to respond. Dre leaving Death Row was the beginning of the end, though. After Pac died, Snoop Dogg was the only star left, and the final nail in the coffin was when he started beefing with Suge Knight over Pac's death and ditched the label too. Now, Snoop owns Death Row and just announced a brand called Death Row Cannabis. The label will probably never dominate the game like it did in the 90s, but at least Snoop will be getting some extra cash to make up for all the drama he had to go through with Suge back in the day. Nas and Tupac were always cool while they were both coming up in the game. That all changed after Pac got out of prison and linked up with Death Row. Nas dropped a track called The Message where he said, "Fake thug, no love, you get the slug. CB4 gusto. Your luck low, I didn't know till I was drunk though. You freak played out, get f***ed and ate out." Pac thought that Nas was dissing him with the line, and he allegedly started dissing Nas at all of his live shows. He was recording his Machiavelli album at the same time, and rumors were flying that he was taking shots at Nas on the record. At first, it wasn't that serious, but at the 96 MTV Video Music Awards, Nas' younger brother Jungle almost got jumped by the Death Row crew. Jungle knew they were beefing with Mobb Deep at the time, so he started yelling, "Yo, Mobb Deep in the house, I'll take a Death Row chain." The Death Row guys left and came back with Pac, and that's when Jungle told him he snatched his chain right there. All the Death Row dudes surrounded him with razor blades in their hands, and Jungle heard one of them say, "Death Row, we here to die." Jungle realized how serious the situation really was. Luckily for him, Pac and his crew let him go. But then, Nas and Pac ran into each other after the awards show and almost started a bloodbath, according to Napoleon from the Outlaws. Snoop says the two crews met at Bryant Park, and Nas had 100 shooters with him. The way Napoleon tells the story, though, both sides were evenly matched, and everyone had guns on them. Pac and Nas walked right up to each other, and nobody knew it was about to go down. But instead of throwing hands or getting anyone killed, they just talked it out. Pac brought up the alleged dish from The Message, and Nas told him he heard about the Machiavelli diss. After they squashed it, they had plans to meet up in Vegas, but Pac was tragically killed before they had the chance. Tupac allegedly planned to take all the disses he had against Nas off of Don Caluminati, but he died before he could redo the verses. On Against All Odds, he said, "Lord, listen to me. God don't like ugly. It was written. Ayo Nas, your whole damn style is bitten. It turns out that Pac wasn't the only one ready to take the beef up a notch. Last year, an unreleased Nas track leaked where he took shots at Pac and said, from tube socks and Tims to blue rocks and Benz, who got the ends? The type of Tupac pretends. To all who shine, guess who got revenge? I won't showboat, my flow choke you. Nas and Tupac going back and forth with diss tracks could have been legendary, but they never had any real beat. The situation got tense at the MTV Awards, but luckily, they were able to squash it before Pac was killed. Biggie, Pac, and every other artist in gangster rap was a target of a civil rights activist named C. Dolores Tucker. Tucker hated rap, and even tried to get music stores to stop selling records. Pac clapped at her on tracks like How Do You Want It, where he raps, C. Dolores Tucker, you's a motherfucker. Instead of trying to help a you destroy a brother. Worse than the others, Bill Clinton, Mr. Bob Dole. You're too old to understand the way the game's told. He aired her out again on the track Wonder Why They Call You a B**** and said, dear Mr. Laura Sucker, keep stressing me, f***ing with a motherfucking mind. I figured you wanted to know, you know, why we call them and maybe this might help you understand. It ain't personal, strictly business, baby, strictly business. So if you wonder why we call you B****, you wonder why we call you B****. After Pac died, Tucker tried to sue his estate for damages over the lyrics and said they caused emotional distress and invaded her privacy. The case was thrown out though, and it only made more rappers send shots at her in their music. On the track Church for Thugs, the game said, hatred in my soul than Pac had for Dolores Tucker. Lil' Kim dropped the track Rockin' It and said, see Dolores T? Screw her, I never knew her. Even Eminem sent a shot on the track Rap Game with the line, tell that see Dolores Tucker suck a d-. Beef with Pac turned out to be a pretty bad decision for Tucker. It just put her in the spotlight even more. Plus, it inspired a whole new wave of rappers to clown her whole movement. After Tupac got out of prison and signed a death row, he got tied with Snoop Dogg off the jump. But while Pac was going to war and sending shots at everyone who crossed him, Snoop was trying to leave the gangster image in the past. In 93, Snoop was involved with the death of a dude named Philip Waldomerium. They had some issues, and Waldomerium allegedly put a gun to his head at a video shoot. Then one day, Waldomerium tried to run Snoop out of his neighborhood, and Snoop's bodyguard ended up killing him. Snoop eventually beat the murder case, but the whole experience made him realize he wanted to switch up how he moved. He wanted to make peace with the dudes on the East Coast because he never had any personal issues with them. But Suge and Pac weren't on the same way. One day, all the Death Row dudes were in New York. Snoop went on the radio and showed love to Biggie and Diddy. Pac and Suge took it like Snoop was choosing the other side, and everybody iced him out when they got back to the hotel. The next day, Suge split Snoop and his bodyguards up. Snoop thought something was about to go down. When they all got on a private plane to go back to LA, Snoop says he grabbed a fork, knife, and blanket and sat down in the back of the plane and waited for it to pop off. Luckily, nobody jumped him on the plane, but the situation still wasn't cool.
So I walked to the back of the plane, give me a blanket, grab me a knife and a fork, put the blanket over my nose right here, my little black glasses on, and ride like this the whole flight. Hoping one of them come with me so I can stab out everybody on this mother.
Snoop tried to talk with Pac when they landed. Tupac ignored him and they went separate ways. Just a few days later, Pac was shot and killed in Vegas. Snoop rushed to see him in the hospital and he says he fainted when he saw Pac unconscious in the hospital bed. Pac's mom told Snoop,
my baby ain't never seen you weak. I don't want you to be weak in front of him. You go in the bathroom and fix yourself up and you go back in here and you talk to him and you tell him how you feel. My baby loves you.
Snoop just wanted peace and wasn't switching sides, but Pac and him never had the chance to talk it out. They both had a lot of love for each other, but the war between the East and West Coast was too heated for Pac to back down. According to rumors, Pac told people he wanted to link back up with Snoop as soon as he got back from Vegas to squash it, but tragically, it never happened. Back in 1992, Pac wasn't a superstar yet. That didn't stop the vice president from going after him. A state trooper in Texas had pulled over a dude named Ronald Ray Howard, who was listening to a bootleg copy of Pac's first album, Apocalypse Now. It's not clear exactly how everything went down, but Howard ended up shooting and killing the state trooper, and he tried to claim that Tupac's music is what made him do it. Dan Quayle was the vice president at the time, and he said that Tupac's music shouldn't be released at all. He said, once again, we're faced with an irresponsible corporate act. There's absolutely no reason for a record like this to be published. Tupac wasn't gonna back down from anyone, no matter how much power they had. And on the track Peep Game, he clapped back with, got my hands on my Glock, eyes on a prize. First sucker jump, first sucker die. Give me mine, give me mine, give me mine, like I told you. Hard as a boulder, motherfucking soldier. Boom, bam, boom, it's a stick up. Vice President Dan Quayle, eat a d**k up. Sending shots to other rappers is one thing, but Tupac took it to the next level when he dissed the second most powerful dude in the country at the time and came out on top. The night Tupac got shot at Quad Studios in New York changed history. Before then, he was tight with Biggie and a lot of other East Coast dudes, and there weren't any issues between California and New York. But after Pac got robbed and shot five times, everything changed. That night, he was hired by Jimmy Henchman to record a verse for a rapper named Lil Sean. According to rumors, Biggie was going to be on the track too and was in the same studio with Diddy at the time. Pac rolled up with his homie Stretch and two other dudes to the studio, and when they got in the lobby, three dudes rushed him with their guns out. Pac ended up getting shot five times, and the next day, he was convicted in a sexual assault case and got locked up. He started blaming all kinds of people for the situation, including his homies, Stretch and Biggie. Stretch and Pac met before the fame and had worked together on movies and music too. They were in a crew Thug Life together, but the Quad Studio shooting caused a split in their relationship that they never fixed. While he was in jail, Tupac did an interview where he accused Stretch of being involved with the robbery. He said, "I'm thinking Stretch is gonna fight. He was towering over those d**ks. From what I know about the criminal element, if d**ks come to rob you, they always hit the big d**k first. They didn't touch Stretch." Stretch clapped back and said, "I ain't never going out like no d**k, but I ain't dumb. I ain't got no gun. What the d**k am I supposed to do? I might be towering over d**k, but I ain't towering over no slugs." Another reason Pac had beef with Stretch is that he started hanging around Biggie after the shooting. But while Pac was locked up, Stretch was murdered in a drive-by. His death was never solved. Some people believe he was killed in revenge for the Quad Studios shooting. Another popular rumor is that he owed a major dealer over 10 bricks. A dude named Dexter Isaac eventually admitted to shooting Tupac that night at Quad Studio. And he says Stretch set the whole thing up. According to him, Jimmy Henchman paid Stretch a quarter brick of cocaine to set up the robbery. There's no evidence to back the story up, but it seems like Pac knew something was up with Stretch during the situation. Nobody knows how it all really went down though. And unfortunately, Pac and Stretch were both killed before they could squash the beef. Jimmy Henchman was a manager in the 90s and 2000s, but behind the scenes, he was also running a massive drug empire. Biggie allegedly warned Pac to stay away from him, but Pac didn't listen and allegedly got him shot. Henchman allegedly offered Pac's homie Stretch a quarter brick of cocaine to set it up, and Pac aired him out on the track against all odds. He said, "And did I mention? Promise to pay back Jimmy Henchman in due time. I know you listening, the whole world is mine. Set me up, wet me up, suck me up. Heard the guns bust, but you tricks never shut me up." Pac never got the opportunity for payback, but eventually, the feds caught up to Henchman, and he's serving two life sentences for drug trafficking and murder right now. According to reports, Henchman finally confessed to being involved with the Quad Studio shooting in 2012, which backs up what the shooter said about the situation. Dexter Isaac told All Hip Hop that Henchman was behind it all and that Stretch was involved too. It's still not clear exactly why it all went down like that, and we'll probably never get the full story. Stretch died in 96, and the case will never go to trial since the statute of limitations is up. What we do know is that night in Quad Studios changed the entire industry. Chino XL is a rapper from the Bronx who was popping off in the 90s. He's known for name dropping for clout, and on his track Riot, he called out Pac and said, "Governmentally engineered like Ebola for this rap garage sale. By this industry, I'm trying not to get f***ed like Tupac in jail." Tupac clapped back on the track, hit him up, and said, "Chino XL, f*** you too. All you motherf***ers, f*** you too. All y'all motherf***ers, f*** you. Die slow, motherf***ers. My 44 make sure all y'all kids don't grow." Then Chino went on Mr. Magic, Mr. C's radio show, spit a whole freestyle diss at Pop. He said, "How many pray that Chino's a failure? Still have lipstick on your back if Suge didn't bail you. Break your glass jaw, leaving you singing like Mahalia. Approach this. Watch the East Coast get sick and approach this. Might grip tight like roach clips till I roast Tupac's whole shit." After he linked up with Suge and Death Row, Tupac wasn't really squashing a lot of beef. But luckily, Chino and him were able to link up and settle everything before he died. According to Chino, they ran into each other on Venice Beach, and Chino told Pac he didn't mean to upset him like that. Chino says he was always a fan of Pac, so when they had a chance to chop it up, it was all love. Pac was going to war against everyone at the time, so the fact that he squashed everything with Chino just proves it was never a real beef like what was going on with him and Biggie. Wendy Williams is known for having her own talk show on TV, but back in the 90s, she's just a radio personality who got attention for spreading wild rumors. While Pac was locked up in 95, she was working at Hot 97 and told everyone that he got raped in jail. When Pac got out, he clapped back at Williams on the track, "Why You Turn On Me," and said, "Said I got raped in jail? Picture that. Revenge is a payback, get your gat. Wendy Williams, and I pray you choke on the next down your throat for turning on me." It was a savage diss, but Williams wasn't too pressed about it. Later, she thanked Pac for giving her the attention and said that without him, she probably wouldn't even have a show on TV. Pac said he had beef with her and probably would have kept up the pressure, but Williams got off easy after he was shot and killed in 96. De La Soul is one of the most influential crews in the late 80s and 90s. They helped put conscious hip-hop on the map and inspired a whole new wave of rap. Back in the day, they were all cool with Tupac, but then they allegedly clowned him over his first major video. In 92, Pac dropped a video for his track I Get Around. In the video, he's driving nice cars, chilling in a mansion, and kicking it with a bunch of women. All of that's pretty much standard now, but back then, Pac was the one really pushing the image. Then a year later, De La Soul came out with a video for the track Ego Trippin', where they took shots at rappers who flex cars, jewelry, and mansions they don't even own. The video even had a bald-headed rapper wearing a gold chain like Tupac, and Pac thought his homies were throwing shade at him. It wasn't even a beef at first. De La Soul and Pac had a conversation about it, and they told him it wasn't meant as a diss. Everything was cool for a while, but in 96, De La Soul dropped the album Stakes Is High and allegedly took shots at Pac's homies, Naughty by Nature. Naughty by Nature is another New York rap crew formed by Vin Rock, DJ KG, and Treach. Pac was cool with all of them, but him and Treach were super tight. And on the intro track, The Stakes Is High, Pac's newest from De La Soul said, "A fresh linen scent, so sniffer on a 2-inch. A talker of the verb without weed influence. So stick to your Naughty by Natures and you came. Cause graffiti that I based upon the wax is insane." De La Soul and Naughty by Nature were always cool too, but this track sparked a major beef that allegedly ended with Treach running up on stage and throwing hands with Pac's Nuos. Tupac wasn't gonna let the disrespect fly, and on the track Against All Odds, he rapped, "All you old rappers trying to advance, it's all over now, take it like a man. Looking like Larry Holmes, look at De La Soul, flabby and sick, trying to play your hate on my shit, you eat a fat d**k." And on a demo track called Watch Your Mouth, Pac aired him out again and said, "De La got a problem with this hard shit. Ever since me, myself, and I, y'all been garbage. I'ma keep it real, show you how it feels to ride. Y'all went 3 feet and stopped rising." A few years ago, Pac's Nuos said that Pac's sister let him know that Pac said love for all the dudes in De La Soul. According to her, Pac was hurt by the alleged disses, but he didn't have any real beef with them. In 2019, Pac's old assistant Kendrick Wells told Cam Capone News,
"De La Soul and a bunch of hip-hop names that were big at the time, Tupac auditioned for these dudes."
Apparently, Pac rapped for them when they were all chilling at a hotel, but De La decided to pass on them. The whole rap game would be different if Pac linked up with an underground lyrical crew instead of Suge Knight and Death Row, but unfortunately, that's not how it worked out. Mobb Deep is one of the most legendary New York rap crews from the 90s, but that didn't stop Tupac from airing them out over an alleged diss. While Pac was locked up in 95, Mobb Deep dropped the track Survival of the Fittest and said, "We're living this to the day that we die. Survival of the fit, only the strong survive. Thug life, we still living it." Thug life was Pac's catchphrase, and he took the bar as a diss. But instead of just sending a diss back, Pac allegedly had some goons in Atlanta go press him. In the interview with Sway, Pac said he called his homies up while Mobb Deep was in Atlanta, and that Mobb Deep acted like cowards and wouldn't respond when his goons rolled up on him. Then Pac took the disrespect to a new level when he dropped Hit Him Up and Clown Prodigy from Mobb Deep for having sickle cell anemia. On the track, he said, "Oh yeah, Mobb Deep, huh? You wanna f*** with us? You little young ass motherfucker. Don't one of you n***s got sickle cell or something? You f***ing with me, n***? You f*** around and have a seizure or a heart attack. You better back the f*** up before you get smacked the f*** up." Mobb Deep clapped back with Drop a Gem on them and said, "It's too not. Knocked out the box and got rocked. Got raped on the island. You officially got. Kick that thug shit. Buy a magazine on some love shit. Keep it real, kid, cause you don't know who you f***ing with." Tupac died just 2 weeks later, didn't have time to respond. Havoc from Mobb Deep said Pac dissing them was actually a good thing because it just gave him more attention. It's not clear if Pac actually sent dudes after them or not, but Havoc says they never even saw Tupac in person. Back in 2012, Prodigy had an interview with ThisIs50.com where he said, "I wanted to kill that n***. Jump him, cut him, shoot him, all that shit." The situation was getting serious. But after Pac died, Mobb Deep actually pulled Drop a Gem on them from the radio. They kept the track on the album, but taking it off the radio shows that even Pac's enemies had a lot of respect for him at the end of the day. LL Cool J is a legend in the game, but he's not really known for beef. That all changed back in 95 though, when he dropped the track I Shot Ya with Prodigy, Keith Murray, Foxy Brown, and Fat Joe. According to people around him at the time, Pac was paranoid that everyone was against him after he got set up and shot at Quad Studios. I Shot Ya wasn't even a diss at him, but Pac still thought LL Cool J and everyone else on the track was sending shots. After the track came out, Keith Murray ran into Tupac and his crew at the House of Blues, and they almost got into a knife fight. Murray told the Breakfast Club that one of Pac's homies walked up and asked him about the track, and Pac came over too. Pac told Murray he thought the track was about him, but Murray calmed the situation down, and everything was cool. Murray says everybody had knives on them that night, and the situation could have gone left at any second. But luckily, nothing popped off, and everyone made it out alive. Rap fans know about Pac and Biggie going to war and bringing the whole East and West Coast into it. But what a lot of people don't realize is that they were actually tight back in the day. They linked up for the first time after Biggie had a local drug dealer in LA set up a meeting with Pac, and they hit it off from the jump. Pac was already popping off, and he would bring Biggie out on stage with him in New York. And when Big would come out west, Pac let him crash on the couch. Pac even allegedly tried to get Biggie to join his Thug Life crew, but Big wanted to start his own wave and create a Junior Mafia instead. Biggie and Pac recorded a few tracks together and planned on doing more, but then Tupac was robbed and shot at Quad Studios, and everything changed. According to some reports, Biggie and Diddy were in the studio that night when it went down, and Pac started to believe they were involved. Pac got locked up before anything could happen, but then Biggie dropped the track, "Who Shot You?" On the track, he said, "Who Shot You? Separate the weak from the obsolete. Hard to creep them Brooklyn streets. It's on, fuck all that bickering beef. And I switches all that, G's up. One false move, get Swiss cheesed up. Clip to tech, respect, I demand it. Slip and break the 11th commandment. Thou should not fuck with North Sea Papa. Fill 1,000 deaths when I drop you." Biggie said the song wasn't about Pac, but that didn't stop Tupac from taking it as a diss. He said, "Been talking shit all while I was in jail. Even if it ain't about me, you should be like, I'm not putting it out, because he might think it's about him." Biggie might not have meant the track as a diss, but according to Kirk Burrows, Diddy knew exactly what would happen when they dropped it. Burrows is the former president of Diddy's Bad Boy record label, and he says Diddy wanted Pac and Biggie to beef because it would sell more records. The situation was already heating up. Then Suge Knight made the war official at the 95 Source Awards. He had just linked up and made a deal with Pac, and Suge got on stage to call out Diddy and the whole East Coast. Questlove called it the day that hip-hop died. After that night, it was war. A month later, Suge's homie Big Jake was allegedly murdered by Diddy's bodyguard. Then Snoop Dogg's trailer was shot up while he was filming in New York. Pac already had issues with Big and Diddy over the whole Quad Studio situation, but now the beef was on a whole new level. Then Pac dropped Hit 'Em Up and aired out Biggie, Diddy, and everyone else who wasn't rocking with him. He opened the track with, "First off, f*** your bitch and the click you claim. West side when we ride, come equipped with game. You claim to be a player, but I f***ed your wife. We bust on bad boys, f*** for life. Plus Puffy trying to see me, weak hearts are ripped. Biggie Smalls and Junior Mafia, some mark ass b***." Then Pac called Diddy out and said, "Puffy weaker than the f***ing block I'm running though, and I'm smoking Junior Mafia in front of you." Biggie's crew wanted to respond to the track, but Biggie stopped him from sending disses. Lil Cecil's in Junior Mafia, he says, Big still had love for Pac and didn't want to make the situation worse by clapping back. Unfortunately, Tupac died before they could squash the beef, and rumors say Diddy was involved with the hit. A retired LAPD cop named Greg Kading investigated the case and says Diddy paid a crip named Keffy D $1 million to take him out. According to Kading, Diddy was running scared after his bodyguard allegedly killed Suge Knight's homie. Suge was trying to get back, and Diddy decided to beat him to the punch. Kading thinks that Suge and Tupac were both supposed to be killed, but Keffy missed Suge and only murdered Pac. After Pac died, Suge allegedly knew Diddy was behind the shooting. And 6 months later, Kading says he paid a dude named Pucci $13,000 to kill Biggie in LA. If Diddy and Suge Knight were involved with the situation, everything would have been different. Pac and Biggie had a lot of love for each other and could have squashed the beef. But after Suge and Diddy turned the coast against each other and went to war, it was only a matter of time before somebody got killed. Most people know Xzibit as a dude who used to host Pimp My Ride. He came up as a battle rapper in New York and almost sparked the beef with Tupac back in the day. On the track How Do You Want It, Tupac said, "All I want is money, f*** the fame, I'm a simple man." A few months later, Xzibit dropped the track Paparazzi and rapped, "Only for the money and the fame, it's a shame, n***s in the rap game." Pac took the line as a diss, but Xzibit says they ran into each other at the House of Blues and everything seemed cool. That's why he was shocked when the Don Illuminati came out and EDI Mean was on the record dissing him. On the track Bomb First, Mean said, "Got a little question for that nigga that made Paparazzi. If you ain't in this rap game for the motherfucking cash main, then what is your motherfucking purpose?" According to Mean, Pac told him to handle the Xzibit situation because he thought Paparazzi was a diss. Xzibit was confused when he heard it, but luckily, he ran into Mean later and they were able to clear it all up. They squashed the beef and even linked up on the track One Nation. But unfortunately, Xzibit never got to talk to Pac about the situation before he died. Ice Cube is a West Coast legend because of his work with N.W.A. But Pac started having issues with him after Cube allegedly jacked his style. While Pac was on the way up in the industry, Ice's career was going down. He hadn't fallen off completely, but he wasn't one of the faces representing the West Coast anymore. And after Tupac dropped Hit Him Up, Ice switched up his style to be more violent and aggressive. Ice links up with Mac 10 and Dub C to form a crew called the West Side Connection and dropped the track Bow Down. A lot of people thought Ice was trying to rap like Pac. And in an interview with Rob Marriott, Tupac said,
I dig Ice Cube. I looked up to him. But because I looked up to him and I studied his style, mastered his shit, I know what he's doing is wrong. He's a shit ain't selling, so now he's going on a war shit.
According to DJ Assassin, that wasn't the only issue Pac had with Ice Cube. Tupac wanted his friend Yo-Yo to hop on his track Dear Mama, but she was on a Cube's label, and he allegedly blocked her from working with Pac. Assassin said Pac was heated over the situation, but never blew up into a real beat. Rumors say Pac planned on dropping a diss track just aimed at Ice Cube, but he was killed before a drop. It's not clear if Ice was really trying to copy Pac, but he's lucky that the diss never got out. Pac wasn't afraid of beefing with anyone, not even the most famous pop star of all time. According to Napoleon from the Outlaws, Pac was supposed to link up and record a track with Michael Jackson. He says Pac was stoked about getting the call and told his whole family he was going to be working with MJ, but the situation didn't turn out like it was supposed to. Pac went to the studio to record. When he showed up, Jackson wasn't there. The record label dudes wanted Pac to just lay down his verse without even meeting MJ, but Pac took it as a sign of disrespect and left the studio. That's not the only story about Pac and MJ. According to QD3, who produced Pac's track To Live and Die in L.A., Pac tried to get MJ on his track Thug Nature. But by that time, Jackson had already linked up with Biggie on the track This Time Around. He didn't want to switch sides in their beat. A singer from Death Row named Danny Boy called QD3's story cap, though. According to him, MJ was a huge fan of Pac, and Shug was tight with his whole family. So there's no way Jackson decided not to work with Pac over the Biggie situation. Another wild story about MJ and Pac comes from a comedian named Boo Capone. He says that while Pac was dating Kidada Jones, he threw hands with Michael Jackson after seeing Kidada on his lap at a party. There's no evidence to back any of the rumors up, though, so it's tough to say exactly what they thought about each other. One thing's for sure, though, a Tupac and Michael Jackson collab probably would have broken Billboard records if they ever linked up in the studio.